The approach we're taking in this course is to try to link together all the technologies and engineering subdisciplines that are involved in taking you from a physical phenomenon in the world to information at the desktop in the laboratory. So if you recall in the last module, module 3, we discussed transducers, which take the information from the physical world and turn it into an electrical signal. And so in this module, we're going to look at analog to digital conversion, as well as the analog signal processing that will be involved before that, in other words, between the transducer and the analog to digital converter, and also the digital signal processing that will be done after that. So the sensor networks can be considered the eyes and ears of the internet. And the idea, of course, is to provide knowledge about the physical world to humanity. And it involves the technology of wirelessly networked embedded systems. And the mission, as I mentioned, is to take some parameter of the physical environment into a number on your desktop, but even better, directly into knowledge that we can use. And so the first task is to choose and understand transducers. And last week, we talked about transducer technologies. And the second one we're going to talk about this week is how to interface a sensor network node to various transducers and what's involved in that. Let's talk about the themes that we're going to hit on in this learning module. The first is the goals, and obviously one is from the physical world to the measurement, and we're going to talk about that today. The second is from measurement to knowledge, and that we'll talk about later on. But the general idea is that we're looking at sensor networks as a way to bridge the physical world and what we call the cyber world. In doing this, we're going to look a lot at various models of how the signal is processed. And then, like I mentioned, this involves analog signal processing, analog to digital conversion, and digital processing. In doing so, we'll look at what we mean by a good measurement and how to characterize that using very specific terminology. And this includes accuracy, precision, and resolution. Our strategies are to look at analog signal processing, and then also, probably in quite a bit more detail in this module, some of the things that come up in digital and statistical signal processing. And we're doing that because we're concerned about errors. And there are different kinds of error sources that we're going to talk about. First is transducer and electronic noise, and the second is the errors that can occur in analog to digital conversion. Throughout this module, as well as throughout the course, one of the things we're trying to do is make connections or links between the different subdisciplines that you learn in getting your electrical engineering degree. And the first one is analog circuit design. And we'll see that this comes into play when we're talking about the signal conditioning that occurs between the signal coming out of the transducer and the analog to digital converter. This involves both amplification and filtering. Next, we move to mixed signal circuit design, and this is the home of analog to digital conversion. And some of the issues that you have to deal with and understand in designing a sensor network is specifying the conversion speed, the quantization noise, dynamic range, and linearity of analog to digital converters. And we'll talk a lot about quantization noise specifically. The other issues you see here aren't quite as important in the sensor network application, or at least many sensor network applications. The next connection is signals and systems and digital signal processing. And many of you have already taken courses in those areas. Clearly, there's a role to play for filtering due to noise. We have to understand sampling rates, and we also have to deal with linearity in that domain as well. And finally, statistical signal processing, which you can think of as more advanced digital signal processing. We're really trying to measure and manage various kinds of noise, and this includes transducer noise and bias, quantization noise, and interference. Here is a hardware block diagram of what we're talking about in this learning module. Clearly, the first thing over here on the upper left is our transducer, and the first thing that happens is we have analog circuitry to do analog signal processing of the signal from the transducer. And this, of course, includes amplification and possibly filtering as well to remove any noise or interference that could occur sometimes in the signal lines between the transducer itself and the analog circuitry. After we do the analog signal processing, we have the analog to digital conversion, and we'll talk quite a bit about that in this module. And from that, we go into a microprocessor, and as I've indicated here with this grayed out area, in many cases these days, the analog to digital conversion is actually built into the MCU or microcontroller unit, or just microcontroller. The other thing you'll see here is a pathway from the microcontroller to the transducer and the analog circuitry. And there's a couple of issues that come up here that are worth talking about. The first is power. And one of the things that you think about in these systems is the idea of saving power so that you save energy. And what you'd like to do is only operate the transducer and the circuitry when they're actually being used. And so you're going to use the stimulus to turn power on and off. The second point is that sometimes you require a signal stimulus, not a power stimulus, but a signal stimulus as part of the measurement. Let's look at a more complicated hardware model of the signal processing chain we're looking at. And this is more sophisticated, I guess you could say, than what we saw two slides ago. The first thing we see is we have multiple transducers here on the left. And this is fairly typical. In many situations, you're interested in temperature or light or some other parameter in multiple places around the wireless sensor node. And you might even do it because you're interested in redundancy. So you have multiple transducers here, and these go into a switch or what we call an analog MUX or multiplexer. And we often see these in the circuit designs. Then we go into the analog circuitry and A to D conversion, and then the microprocessor. And we can divide this signal processing into three different areas, as I mentioned before: analog, mixed signal, and digital processing. And each of these areas of signal processing, if you will, or you can think of them as circuit and software design, has important roles to play. And that's what we'll look at here. Obviously, the analog MUX provides the ability to switch the different transducers into the system. And the basic idea of providing an analog MUX is that it allows you to save money on the rest of your components in the chain. And this includes the analog circuitry and the analog to digital conversion. So we've already talked about the switching in the MUX, and next I'll talk a little bit about the analog circuitry here. Probably the most important role is amplification. Many of the signals that come from transducers are very, very weak, on the order of sometimes microamps or less. In some cases, the signal is essentially a current signal, and this happens if you have, for example, a photodiode. And so we have to then do a current to voltage transformation for input to the analog to digital converter. And finally, sometimes we do some kind of filtering. And this is important in some applications. Maybe you have a fair amount of 60 hertz AC line interference that can be filtered out. Or maybe it's just filtering having to do with picking up RF signals on the wires that come from the transducers. Then we go to the AD conversion. That's down here. And the three steps that you always hear about are sampling, quantization, and encoding. And we'll talk about those a little bit more later on. And then finally, of course, we go to the microprocessor, the brain of the sensor node, and this is where we may do some statistical signal processing. And this includes something that I'll be talking about a little bit later on, and that has to do with clever tricks, and probably the most important and the simplest of those is to try to take multiple measurements of the same thing so that you can use averaging techniques to get rid of random noise. We need to understand quantitatively what we mean by the fidelity of a measurement that we take with a sensor. And if you look here on this slide, there are three terms: accuracy, precision, and resolution. And we see these used a lot, but they're typically used rather loosely and informally. What we need to do is get these crisp, so that we understand the various kinds of ways a measurement can be an error. And the first one is accuracy. And other words for accuracy are bias and offset. So that if you have a high bias or high offset, you have lower accuracy. And maybe the best way to describe accuracy is with an example. Many times you've used some kind of instrument, and maybe it's just the scale you weigh yourself on. It might even have a dial to adjust it. And this is to try to zero out or tear the bias or offset. And if you have a really old instrument of some kind, such as an old spring scale, maybe you already know that it reads high or low, maybe a few pounds, and you subtract that out. So the bias or offset is a deterministic error that can be removed by doing a calibration test. So let me write down calibration here. I'll say removal by calibration. And so we'll talk about ways to measure that bias very accurately so it can be removed. The second is precision. And precision has to do with uncertainty. When you take a measurement, how sure are you that it is the particular value that you're reading? And that's, of course, different than accuracy, because accuracy says, well, I may be sure of the value, but it's not necessarily correct. In precision, we're dealing with noise. And so higher noise means higher uncertainty and lower precision. Then finally, we have resolution. Now, resolution, sometimes some people hear about it when you are, for example, buying a digital multimeter and it says a 3.5-digit multimeter. And in this case, the reason they use a half digit is that it's 3 digits of precision plus at most a 1 out there. So they call that 3.5. Now, in sensor networks, we usually don't deal with decimal resolution, but we deal with bits of resolution. And this has to do with how many bits in your analog to digital converter and how many quantization bins you have associated with that. And so we can write down a simple little formula that says the number of quantization bins is equal to 2 to the number of bits, B in this case, that are in the analog to digital converter. And typical values for B are 10 and 12. And that means for the case of 10 bits, you have 1,024 quantization bins. And for 12 bits, you have 4,096 quantization bins.